From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. Writing a will and planning your estate may seem like something for the distant future, but it becomes much more present when you have kids and you worry about what will happen to them if you're suddenly gone, and you never know when you're going to be gone. Lacking a will or estate plan can leave a big mess for your survivors, and even when you think you've got a plan, it can still be a mess. Noted actor James Gandolfini died in June, and his will went public. Many said it was a tax disaster, giving away more than $30 million of his $70 million estate in taxes. So today, to help get you started, it's time to ask the estate planner. Tim Burkhart is an estate planning attorney in Seattle, and he's generously given of his time this afternoon to join us. We're at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW, 800-289-5869. You can write to us, conversation@KUOW.org. Tim, thanks for coming over. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me.
So you were telling us that even if you don't think you have an estate plan, there are laws on the books that will make an estate plan for you, should there not be something you've done, right?
Well, I think a lot of people say, I don't have an estate to plan. And estate planning is a lot more than worrying about the hereafter. It's also worrying about the here. For example, if you're incapacitated, who do you want make decisions for you in terms of managing your money, dealing with your health care? Who will decide when it's time to let you go if you've done a health care directive or a living will? And then things like, you know, who gets grandma's china? I mean, you don't have to have a lot of assets, but often there's things that are important to certain people.
And decisions are made whether or not you specify what you want done, right?
Well,
based on the law?
Yeah, it depends on who's making them. If you don't plan ahead and you become incapacitated, then someone will need to be to go to court and be appointed your guardian. May or may not be the person you want. And also guardianships, while it's a wonderful proceeding and there's lots of protections built in, they can be very cumbersome and expensive, and it can generally be avoided through a document called a durable power of attorney.
Mm-hmm. Let's go right to the phones. We've got Michael on the line, and it's Ask the Estate Planner time. Tim Burkhart's with us. We're at 206-543-5869. Michael's joining us today from Renton. Michael, good afternoon. What's your question?
Yes, hello. I would like to ask about safe harbor trusts. And I'm wondering, you know, does it have to be expensive to set one up? And, you know, how can I get away with paying less? And what is the minimum cost I can, you know?
Okay, so safe harbor trusts, how expensive are they to set up? First of all, Tim, what are they?
That's what I was going to ask. What are they? Are you talking about protection against taxes or against creditors or what?
No, this is something for a parent that is, you know, very old and can no longer qualify for long-term care insurance. And there's something that's been being promoted in the area as a way of, getting away from having to go broke once you end up in a nursing home.
So setting aside some of that money that could not be tapped into and you maybe get the federal government to help pay for the costs?
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
I understand what you mean now. These are sometimes called Medicaid planning, and it is trying planning to deal with the cost of long-term care. It is, I'll say right off the bat, that's a specialty of estate planning law, which is not mine. There are people that do it. I think my contact information is online. If you mm-hmm. wanted to contact me, I'd be happy to give you the names of some very competent people who work in this area. But I know there are people out there promoting it. That's sort of a misnomer for the type of planning that can be done. And I'm always cautious when someone's sort of selling something with a name on it. It's it's very fact specific, and it'd be good to talk to someone that does this in day in and day out.
So you think the very term safe harbor might be a misnomer? It might not be so safe after all.
Well, yeah, it's. I talked to a friend of mine because I heard this once before from a client.
Right.
I didn't know what it was. And she said, "Yeah, this is. You hear this term, but it's really just." The typical planning that they do with either special needs trusts and things like that. So I could certainly put you in touch with someone that does this a lot, and I'm sure they'd be happy to do a consultation.
Well, Michael also talked about the price, and that's something that Jill's concerned about. She wrote to us, so we're in our 30s, three kids, and need to come up with an estate plan. How much it will cost is a big question mark for us. Is it expensive to prepare a will?
Okay, the estate plan is different. So
I want to get to that too, but a will. She asks about a will.
Right. Typically, when you do your will, you want to do a number of things. You want to do a will And if let's assume you have less than $2 million, so you don't need to worry about the state estate tax. The federal estate tax credit is $5.25 million, and so I hope I have that problem. But what you need is one, a durable power of attorney for each of you, and you need a will for each of you. Within your will, you'd want to make provisions for the survivor and then provisions for your children, which not only includes appointing guardians for them, but also creating a trust so that their money is managed till an age when you think they're able to handle it. Assuming it's not complicated, I would say you'd probably be in the range of, you know, $900 to $1,300.
That'd be about the cost of doing that.
Yeah, and that would vary, you know, but that could just give you a ballpark. One thing I will caution people, you know, you can go online and create a valid will. It doesn't necessarily mean it's an appropriate will. I've seen people walk in with documents that gave away the same property two different times, which is not good.
Is that just because of careless filling out of some of those programs, or are the programs themselves, are they easy to misuse?
Well, the problem is when you go to see an estate planning lawyer, you're not paying for the paper. You're paying for their advice. And I do this all the time. And I tell people I don't do my own electrical work because I actually want to live in the house. And I don't do my own plumbing. And I wouldn't do my own estate planning. You're not going to do it very often. There's things you don't think about. You assume people are going to die in a certain order and it doesn't happen. There's things you don't think about on a regular basis. Going to see a competent lawyer can save a lot of grief for not only you, but for your loved ones.
Is it a good first step, though, Tim, if someone uses, say, WillMaker or some of the other popular programs and they bring that result to you, does that kind of get them down the field a little bit further? Does it make it easier for you to finish off what they started?
What is good is that they do your homework and, yeah. and read up about estate planning and think about, you know, who's going to be your executor? Who's going to manage your estate if you're not around? Who do you want making financial decisions for you if you're not able? Is that the same person you want making healthcare decisions? So thinking about those things ahead of time and being an informed consumer is great. Doing your own document and bringing it in could actually be more expensive because I actually have to read every word in there to make sure it's right. And it'd be much more efficient for me just to do one from scratch.
We're talking about preparing your estate. We're talking about writing a will. And I'm going to get back to the phones in just a moment. We're at 206-543-5869. That's 800-289-5869. Or you can write to us. It's conversation@kuow.org. And a moment ago, I talked about will, and you said a will and an estate plan are not the same things. What is the difference?
A will is part of an estate plan. Estate plan is planning for the possibility that you're alive and unable to make decisions for yourself. And it's also planning for the care of your minor children. It's quite possible you could be alive and unable to care for them. You may just be unavailable and you could name someone to make health care decisions for them if you want. And then in your will itself, you would appoint guardians. You would plan for the disposition of your assets. Washington also allows you to designate what happens to your remains, whether you want to be cremated or buried if you wish.
I'm sorry, you have something else?
That's
there.
It.
Okay, let's go to Carrie, who's listening to us today in Shoreline. It's Ask the Estate Planner. Tim Burkhardt is with us. Carrie, what's your question?
My question is there any way to avoid putting your house in probate? We have a will. It addresses the assets, except the house is to be sold, and then the proceeds divided, have an executor in DPOA. But I've been told by a lawyer, by several lawyers, that there's no way I can avoid putting the house through probate. And I want to know, is that a big deal? Does it cost a lot? Does it take forever? Hello?
Yes, I'm here. So probate is the proceeding to administer the assets of a deceased person. That's all it is. And so you're not around, and the court appoints someone called an executor who steps in for you and gathers your assets together and pays your bills and taxes. In some states, it's a dirty word. It's something to be avoided. Washington is not one of them. We have a very streamlined probate system, and so it's not that big a deal. Nonetheless, it's not free, and there are ways to avoid it. What you want to be careful of is to make sure that in avoiding probate, you don't thwart your estate plan. So if your plan is to divide the house equally among your children, well, whatever plan you put in place better do that. And then you have to think about, what if one of them doesn't survive? And so it does, you know, for instance, a simple way to do it is to do what's called a joint tenancy deed, where you put the kids on title. But and that works fine. If they survive you, they would get title. The problem is they're an owner of the property. If they go into bankruptcy, that their interest in the property could be subject to creditors and so on. So, and it also hamstrings you if you want to refinance your house and things like that. Another way to do it is to create something called a revocable trust. They're sometimes called living trusts. That's just a marketing name. And you transfer title to the trust. And then when you pass away, the trust says, okay, this is what we do with the house. We sell it. We divide the proceeds or what have you. And that's a fairly simple way of doing it. And that would avoid probate. If you're going to go to that trouble, I would put your other assets in there as well, because I think the number is, if you have non-real estate above $120,000, you would have to go through probate. So if you put everything in there, you would avoid it altogether. So those are a couple of options.
Carrie, I hope that helps. Let's go to Amy listening to us today in South Park. It's Ask the Estate Planner time. Amy, what's your question for Tim Burkhart?
Hi, thanks. My question is if IRAs or 401ks are indeed, I've heard that they're protected from the debts of the deceased person if they're inherited. I wondered if that was really the case.
Generally, yes. I'm not a bankruptcy lawyer, but generally they're protected while you're alive as well. As long as you name people as the beneficiaries, if it ends up going to your estate, it would be subject to your creditors and on many circumstances.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Amy. Howard wrote to us. He writes to say, I'd like to do a 529 or something similar for my granddaughter, and I think those are ways to set aside money for a college education. Please talk about the benefits in context of estates or why not do it. Costs and amounts are not an issue for us, though we are subject to estate tax. So any considerations there when it comes to estate planning and the 529 plan for a granddaughter?
So from an estate planning point of view, it's a great way to move assets out of your estate. Washington State does not have a gift tax. The federal government does, and you're allowed to give $14,000 per year per person. With a 529 plan, you can front load it, though, and do 5 years of gifts. So help me with my math. I think that's $70,000. So you and your wife could put $70,000 each into an account for a grandchild. And that money would then be out of your estate for estate tax purposes.
Finally, Tim, at what age do you recommend people sit down and get serious about a will and estate planning? It might depend on their circumstances, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you when I did it.
Yeah.
6 months after my son was born. So
that brought it on.
Right. So, yeah. But, you know, I guess whenever you're in a situation where you want someone other than your parents to be your primary beneficiaries, you should think about it. I think everyone should have a power of attorney. I made my kids do one when they went off to college, just so that there's a plan in place, just, you know, in case the unthinkable happens and they're incapacitated. So,
because someone has to make those decisions, and you can make sure you know who that is if
right.
There's a power of attorney decision made.
Yes.
We've barely scratched the surface, but Tim Burkhart, thanks for helping us today. We appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Thanks.
Tim Burkhart, an estate planning attorney in Seattle. From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds.